Let's talk about Kismet, if we can. Now, yeah. Kismet was just like a head and a neck, right? It wasn't a full-body robot.
Well, you know, first the team built Cog, which was a party line above, a torso and two arms and a head. And they had big plans with Cog, but again, it was so difficult to get just things like hand-eye coordination straight that then parts of the team split and kind of said, okay, we have to build the social intelligence on a different robot, and that is how Kismet came to play. But Kismet is fascinating because Kismet has this very, very, very expressive face. Very cute, big blue eyes, long eyelashes, cutesy mouth, wiggly ears, and it can mimic, and it has a very, very expressive face. And so when you know, let's say you Kismet is bored, right, and you come into a room and Kismet looks at you and starts smiling, I mean, you can't help. Yourself suddenly becomes so happy, you know. Oh, that robot is smiling at me. And while you're berating yourself, God, how can I be so silly? You know, it's just a robot. You can't help feeling happy. And, you know, again, that says more about me than about the robot. It says something about that we all humans yearn for acceptance and that we all yearn from being, you know, someone recognizes us. Oh, there is someone, and they recognize to us, right? And so actually Kismet, even though it was an enormously intriguing machine and everything, it taught us much more about who we are. Because, you know, I mean, I remember this one thing. Kismet had certain voice melodies, you know. All social mammals react to certain voice melodies, like prohibitionist, no, or attention, right, and stuff like that. I mean, it doesn't matter if you do it with a horse or a dog or whatever. And so then Kismet learned to babble. I mean, it doesn't understand language, doesn't understand the content, but it picks up the voice melodies and can do its own voice melodies. And I remember this one Saturday morning when a reporter came to kind of wanted to write a piece about me and said he wanted to see me interacting with Kismet. And so I called Cynthia, the engineer of Kismet, and said, Cynthia, could you help me with a robot? And she said, sure. And she brought some people herself. And so I was sitting there talking to the robot, and the robot was, you know, looking all over and round and didn't concentrate on me. And so I started kind of saying, Kismet, you don't love me anymore. You know, you really ignore me. How can you do that? And suddenly Kismet turned to me and started babbling in a really soothing voice. You know, it made the soothing sound as reaction to my kind of, oh, how can you do that? And, you know, I looked at the reporter, kind of shoved his chair back. Cynthia looked, and we all looked at each other. We couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, those are moments that, and you know, what was the worst thing? I felt better. You know, I really felt better. And I was kind of thinking, gee, that's horrible. So in a way, we are, in a way, very mechanistic. You know, we react to those things. And that is what is so intriguing about those robots. Because it's not so much that we have the technology. It's much more that they actually can make us feel better. And that says something about us.
Did Kismet ever demonstrate anger with its facial expressions?
Actually, you know, it's kind of a very interesting question. No. It didn't.
Did not.
No. Well, annoyance, yes. Boredom, yes. Happiness, flirtation, insecurity, all those things. But anger, actually, no.
It didn't have teeth, like, so it didn't bare its teeth like a dog would or something.
No, we have a facial expression that looks angry. I mean, we can mimic all sorts of facial expressions, including anger, but in a real interaction with a robot, I never actually experienced Kismet displaying anger. But that is also might also be that because the people who interacted with Kismet didn't want it to be angry.
Would a robot in the future be only as good as the information that was fed into it? Or would it then be able to develop and make its own opinions? Here's an example. Would it be smart enough one day to sit down and talk with you about the plus and minuses, for example, of being in Iraq? Would it need to have every bit of information? Why were there, the fact that, you know, Saddam Hussein was there, it's got oil, it's got all these different possibilities. Would it be able to reason like that? Or would it merely be able to talk about it based on, I don't know, impressions?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for that is there are plenty of people who talk plenty about Iraq without any information.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So I think we humans are not very good in keeping our opinions to ourselves, even though we have no clue. on a more serious note, again, if a robot would have developed the same intelligence like we, it would have the same capability of emotional opinion making. Of, you know, I think, you know, information is one of those terms which is constantly used, but we really don't know what it is. I like to much rather, you know, information for me is something very cold. In humans, we tend to talk about knowledge, which is information plus experience, and the experience is emotional. And so I think if a robot was like us, it would have the same type of knowledge, not just information, but live through knowledge, empathy, the capability of feeling what other people would feel. And it would make its decision based on the same rationale and emotions that we do. So it would be just one of many, many dialogue partners to talk about various things.
It would be interesting, Anna, to see what it could do or say. I mean, it may very well spit out, you need to find an alternative energy source. I mean, who knows what it would say if it had knowledge and the ability to reason?
You know, this is what intrigues me so much about the robots, because they will have a different body, and so they will be different from us. And even though we will be able to communicate with us, they might really come up with totally different and unheard of things we have never thought about. And that is what intrigues me so much, and this is why for me the question, how would we treat them, intrigues me. Because, you know, they might really help us find solutions.
They may replace psychiatrists.
I don't think they will replace them, but they might add to the whole science of psychiatry. They also might add to the whole, you know, they might create different music than we do. You know, they might create different art than we do. I mean, they might be creative in all sorts of different ways. I don't know, but it's freeing to think about that.